As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Get the free iHeartRadio app. Listen to the podcast. Dan Wojcicki, terrific at 1 o'clock. Talking about Kyrie Irving. Would it make sense? Could the Dodgers make a move? Or the Dodgers. Could the Lakers make a move to get him? And then David Vasse was on during the noon hour talking about recent Dodgers struggles. Don't forget, he's got off-day Dodger talk tonight on the station.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock. Okay, now to provide some spirituality as we start this week. Let us welcome on Vic the Brick.
Oh, yeah.
With a daily haiku at 2. And Vic, happy Monday afternoon to you.
Oh, yeah. Happy Juneteenth, Father's Day weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
How was your Father's Day, Vic?
Tremendous. Thank you, Fred. Thank you so much to all the Padres out there, and I'm talking fathers.
No, I thought you meant the San Diego baseball team.
No.
Say, that was a bit much to start with.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
All the fathers enjoy, but it was just a tremendous weekend with the Juneteenth festivities and, you know, the Enlightenment and really the opening up of everyone, you know, to freedom. Everywhere, not just here in America, freedom around the world. It's a celebration of freedom.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Rodney Peete. Congratulations to the Holly Rod Foundation. What a fantastic event on Saturday.
Thank you, Vic, my man. VTB.
R. Peete. He's in for a honeymooning. Kevin Figgis. Double A. Adam Oslin.
Honeymoon not over, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. Eternal honeymoon, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We have an eternal audio honeymoon with Ronnie Fascio.
King Flavor in the house now. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's face it, a deep void in right field for our Dodgers.
A little bit.
We can't give games away. Is it me? Is it just me? I'm checking the standings already. I have my eyes on the Padres and the hated ones every game because these games are relevant and germane. They count. And to throw away a game like yesterday because you can't have someone who can play right field is unacceptable. And, you know, I love Eddie Alvarez, love the backstory. He has talent, but you can't put a guy in right field who's not comfortable in right field. And, Rodney, like you said, the ball is always going to find the guy who's not comfortable with the ball.
Going to find you. Going to find you.
It found Alvarez. And we... Unfortunately, the team is not that deep as we thought it was. But there is depth around baseball, and I have a solution to the right field problem.
Oh.
Yasiel Puig.
Oh! No, Freddy! No. He brought it out. He brought it out. No,
Vic. I'm playing the Puig card. I'll tell you why. Number one, he's now tearing up the South Korean Baseball League with the with his squad there. He's playing for the Kiwoom Heroes. Mm-hmm. He's hitting 361 his last 10 games. Two homers, 11 RBIs, a couple of steals. I'm not saying he's a permanent solution, but until Mookie's rib heals, and like David Vasse, you know, poignantly pointed out, it could be more than 2 weeks. You know, optimistically 2 weeks is Mookie. You know, it is what it is, says Mookie, 2 weeks. But that's a very, very tough injury.
Yeah, it is. Rodney, you ever have cracked ribs?
Oh, yeah. I've had them. It ain't good.
Not good.
Of course, I played football, which is a little bit different, but still, the movement and torquing your body like you have to do when you swing a bat or running and catching a baseball and throwing, it's painful. It's painful. So, you know, the one thing you want to make sure he's healed. It's June, so he can heal before he comes back. I mean, obviously, if this is September, then you probably have to push it and get back sooner. But you don't want this to be a lingering thing for the rest of the year. So get healthy, Mookie, and then come back.
Dodgers will find a way. Andrew Friedman will make the calls. But I thought if the South Korean Baseball League wanted to, lend us Yasiel for a couple of weeks, it wouldn't hurt.
Boom.
El Caballo Savaje. Yeah, for a couple weeks, then he goes back to South Korea. I mean, I don't know the inner workings of the contract, but at this point,
well, the inner
it couldn't hurt.
The inner workings of the contract are not. We're going to loan him to you for 3 weeks, Vic. And don't you think
you can't get that done, Fred?
No, I don't.
I haven't read the fine print, Fred.
Fred. Read the fine print yet to see if that's doable.
And don't you also think, Vic, that I know you love the Wild Horse.
I do.
I know you love Puig. Pretty much, though, don't you think that ship has sailed here?
Fred, we're waiting for Mookie to come back. This is a deep void.
Yes.
You know, I mean, yesterday's game was embarrassing for me to watch the game and say, I hope no one hits it to Alvarez. I mean, that's not the way to play the game, execute a game plan. You want guys who can make plays. I mean, we can't give away outs at this point. I know, we still lead the Padres by that zany half game, but, you know, the Hader ones by three. But still,
Vic, I think you're going to get on Alvarez for that play late in the game?
Yes. Oh, I'm getting it. Well, Alvarez wasn't ready. He wasn't comfortable and right. He never should have been out there, Fred.
He gave it a hell of a try, Vic. He almost got there.
We have outfielders, Fred. We just have to shift. Listen, you butcher a couple plays in the outfield. You got to move it around. But Cleveland, Cleveland's no chopped liver. More than Menudo. They've won 15 of 19. I just want to, give some respect to the Guardians. The Guardians, they grind you, man. I mean, they hit sack flies like every game. They won games with like 3-4 sack flies.
Terry Francona doing a good job over there.
You know, their best hitter was out. Alvarez was out. Jose Alvarez was out. Oh, I'm sorry, Jose Ramirez was out.
Ramirez, right?
Yeah, Ramirez was out for two. He was hitting over 300. The guy's a sensational hitter. He's been out the last couple of games, and yet they still managed to win games. So that was a tough team. But tomorrow Gonsolin, the Catman, will get us back on track. I'm confident they'll find the way. But I'm just throwing El Caballo Savaje out there. Not just for kicks, but open our minds, to the right field position.
All right.
Why is Reyes Moranta sent down to Oklahoma City? I love Moranta. The chunky right-hander?
Yeah.
I love him. You know, Fred, as you like Bazooka, I really like Maranta.
Well,
and
maybe
it gets out.
Maybe they needed some chunks down in Oklahoma City, Vic.
Well, maybe, maybe some other guys need to go to OKC to get their game right. Not Maranta. I mean, you can't have your closer blown up every ninth inning. That's also unacceptable. I mean, these things happen. It's a long season. We react. You know, we're such prisoners of Zelda. You know, prisoners of the moment. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're prisoners of Kimbrel right now. We're just watching him pitch. And every time he goes out there, it's like a shaky outing. You know, so we're just waiting for him to find his groove.
Right.
And they're going to find their groove. This is a long, crazy, wacky season. But again, I'm a Reyes Maranta fan. I just want to go on record.
All right. Well, I think there are a number of people that like him, Vic, but I'm sure there's a reason they sent him back down.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know the intricate details of Maranta, his contract. I know they're going to call him up, you know, quickly because he threw 9-10 innings, gave up maybe a couple runs, you know, excellent ERA. I just liked his presence on the mound. You know, I liked his essence, that vibe that he brought.
Yeah.
It was mas fuerte. It was strength. Like I'm getting these outs, and then we're going back to the dugout. And we're gonna put some runs on the board. That's just the vibe I got from Maranta. Maybe it's just me. And is it me? But what a great celebration yesterday of Juneteenth. Hollywood Bowl was rocking.
Oh, it was rocking, wasn't it?
Ooh, Ronnie hit me.
Yeah.
Belle Biv DeVoe got the party started. Hollywood Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Celebration of global freedom.
Oh, yeah.
They were in full effect. And backed up by the first all-black orchestra in the 100th anniversary of the Hollywood Bowl. What a night at the bowl. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Love the bowl. Love the bowl. Love seeing acts at the bowl. It's great. Great venue.
And what a lineup. Neo was off the charts. The Roots, of course, BBD. Robert Glasspar. I'm a big fan of Glasspar. Billy Porter was tremendous. Lucky Day, yes. Nicky Guyton, the Debbie Allen Dance Academy. I mean, woo! And the gospel to wrap it up with Mary Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle Williams, Anthony Hamilton. I just want to give it up. It was just a tremendous night at the Hollywood Bowl, Juneteenth. Whoo! Belle, Biv, and DeVoe. Pumping up the jam. Thank you, Ronnie. Wow. What a great, great weekend. And, of course, it all leads us right to the haiku.
Yes.
On this Monday, June the 20th, and I'm going to give some love to the Young Rascals.
The Young Rascals.
Who wrote this song circa 1968. Felix Cavallari.
Yes.
Eddie Brigati. They came out of Jersey with so many hits.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about freedom, Fred.
What does this have to do with the haiku? Is this the haiku or is this something else leading
this
into the haiku?
This is a haiku. And I'm quoting the Young Rascals.
Vic. No, Vic. Vic, that's not the haiku. I mean, we gave you a pass on Ralph Waldo Emerson. But
Fred,
you can't just take music lyrics now and make them the haiku.
Oh, I'm getting calls in saying, what is Fred thinking?
No one is calling you, Vic. No one is calling you and asking you, Vic.
The Zendo hotline is in full effect.
trying to check Fred for what is he?
They're already checking Fred.
Vic, we can normally hear the phone ring. It's not ringing. No one's calling. Why are you using lyrics as the haiku from the Little
because
Rascal?
Because the lyrics are so strong, Fred, and so relevant.
Did you say the Little Rascals?
Isn't that what he said?
The Young Rascals, Fred.
Oh, the Young Rascals.
One of the great blue-eyed soul artists of all time.
Imagine Vic Spanky on lead vocals.
I'm thinking, why is he using the Little Rascals?
Young Rascals, Fred. You know the band, no?
No.
Let me give you some enlightenment, Fred. One of the great
are you gonna
rock
play one
bands,
of their songs?
One of the great rock soul bands of all time.
Are you going to tell Ronnie Hit Me? Are we going to get a little Young Rascal in here?
I am going to throw down their lyrics because they are so strong.
Vic, Ronnie, look up, Ronnie, go find Young Rascals, and we'll play a little. You can do that. You have.
I'm throwing down the lyrics first because it's so strong, Fred, without the music. It doesn't need music. I want you just to resonate in your brain.
You know, Ronnie has a music machine, and he can find anything. Are you aware of that?
Go something like this.
Okay, here we go.
All the world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just wanna be free. Listen, please listen. That's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people wanna be free. I'm feeling you, Young Rascals.
Okay. First of all.
About freedom, Fred.
No, I hear Vic. First of all, Vic, you sang it, so it wasn't just I'm going to throw down the lyrics. You sang it.
Gave it a little more oomph.
Second of all, it was wonderful, but that's not the haiku. That is you singing a song.
No, that is the lyrics, Fred, proved to be just so strong and really so moving. A haiku moves you, Fred. See, you're getting hung up on the, you know,
the definition of haiku.
Literal definition, 575. We've really traveled way past that ship has sailed, Fred. The haiku is an expression of thought. It can be a poem, it could be a haiku, it could be verse. It moves you. It's verse that moves you, Fred. It doesn't have to be in that strict regime of 575.
Then what we need to do, and we need to have a show vote, maybe we need to change the name of the segment to the verse that moves you.
No.
Instead of the daily haiku.
No, it's the daily haiku, Fred, because you are hung up on the strict definition.
Yes.
I want you to grow your mind, Fred.
Well, then we should call it something else, Vic. Vic, if I went to buy a
foundation is the haiku, Fred.
Exactly.
What he's saying is that you can expand your mind, and haiku is what you feel, how you feel it, and how it gets into your soul. So through the song, through the lyrics, became the haiku for the day, Fred.
Okay. So
exactly,
if I went to the store and bought a turnip, I wanted to buy a turnip. I go to the store, I want to buy a turnip. Instead, I buy a tomato. Do I then say, look, in my hand, I have a turnip? No, I have a tomato. Do you understand? Ronnie, play that song real quick.
What?
What?
Play it.
Okay, so just for clarification, this is the song that Vic was trying to sing here. Well, not that he was trying to sing. This is the song that Vic was singing. People got to be free.
Young Rascals now. Yeah.
And Fred's on the telephone. Fred's not even paying attention.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Vic.
Vic, were you talking about
that? I'm about to get that again, Ronnie.
No, you know why I wasn't paying attention? Yeah, play it again. I'm sorry, Vic. I thought when Ronnie hit the song, my phone rang. I had to answer it immediately because it was a very important person calling
you out. Somebody's calling you out.
Somebody called me. You wonder who it was?
Was it Mario?
No. Who do you think it was?
David Begar. David Begar.
It was not David Bigger.
The Begar.
All right.
Begar called you?
It was not Begar Bigger. It was not Mario. I already talked to Bob Costas today, Adam, so thank you. I was waiting for a call from him. This is something I've been working on, and I think we're going to get it really soon. You ready? Cowboy Joe West.
Cowboy Joe.
We're going to get Cowboy Joe West, the umpire.
And Joe West.
I've been trying to get a hold of him, and he just called, and I thought, if I don't answer, he won't call me back. So when Ronnie plays the song, I just grabbed it real quick.
Okay.
So I'm going to call him
back. Move. It's a good move.
Cowboy Joe West. Anyway, Vic, that was a great haiku. All right, what else? No.
You didn't even hear the song.
No, play it again, Ronnie. Let me hear the song. I'm sorry.
Wanna be free. Come on.
Okay.
Riveting. It's riveting and it resonates for generations and generations and generations.
Okay.
It's really one of the great undercover songs of the Young Rascals of all time.
All right.
Although it was number one on the charts like for 10 weeks.
Yeah, in 1937. Vic, please.
No, 668
from 1937. Vic.
Circa 1968.
Okay, can we go back to haikus? That's all I'm asking. You can do whatever you want. I'm just asking as a man that's known you almost 40 years. Can we go back to traditional haikus?
You want some Basho?
No.
You want some Shiki?
No. I want Brenda Gammon.
Oh.
You love that alternative haiku, Fred.
Yes. Better than Little Rascals haiku.
Wow.
Little Rascals.
Not Little Young Rascals, Fred.
Okay.
Out of New Jersey.
All right. Well, tomorrow?
They play the Choo Choo Club back in the island, in Long Island.
Vic, no one knows what the Choo Choo Club is. No one knows that, Vic. What is the Choo Choo Club?
It was one of the great little clubs in Long Island promoting rock and roll.
Okay.
Like a troubadour in L.A. You know, let's face it, the rock and roll spirit will always live, Fred.
That I agree with.
Rock and roll will live.
The Troubadour. You've been to the Troubadour, Fred?
I've not, and I should have, but I never went.
You have.
Tremendous club.
Yeah, I've never been.
Yeah. Greg Weston.
All right, yes. All right, Vic, so tomorrow, what we have, final question. What we're going to do from now on, final question. What we're going to do from now on is either have a regular haiku or an alternative haiku. What will tomorrow be? A regular or an alternative?
I'm bringing you haiku, Fred.
There you go, Vic. There you go.
I'm bringing you haiku. That's what I do.
Don't label it.
I do haiku, Fred.
All right, so tomorrow will be alternative.
And I want you to open your mind. I want you, Fred, to open your mind to haiku.
Vic, it's open. I'm wide open for business, Vic.
Let us Yeah.
Sorry, my call with umpire Joe West, the Cowboy, interrupted today's haiku. But it gave us a chance to play the Little Rascals again.
Young Rascals, Fred.
Jacob
and Ronnie. He's doing it on purpose, baby.
We
call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob. So, speaking of that song Poison and never trusting a big butt and a smile, Draymond Green is in the news.
Yeah.
Also a bit of a rascal, you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Golden State Warriors victory championship parade a little bit earlier today, well, there's a hot mic. There will be Draymond Green. He loves to talk some S. He loves to promote his podcast. He loves to fire back against the haters. Here he was.
Okay.
As always, F everyone else.
There you go. Well, when you keep winning, you can do that.
It's usually what Fred says at the end of the show.
That is not true. There's not a shred of truth to that. No, that's not right.
To the haters out there.
That's actually not all, though.
There's more
from Draymond.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
He likes to go in. I mean, it's not just their championship celebration when they win, and this is the fourth time in the last 8 years now. It's also just known as Draymond Day Drinking Extravaganza. That's what happens during these championship parades. Here he was. Everybody shut up.
Well, winners win. Y'all trying to make it about points. But he's right. Winners win. They figure out a way to win, and the Warriors figure that out.
To the victor go the spoils, and shut up.
Well, there you go.
Winners win. Well, we've seen, you know, listen. I know everybody wants to kill Draymond, and they're going to kill him. And he welcomes it all because it does help, you know, his podcast in the offseason is going to be fire. But we've seen this. We've seen this. A lot of guys, you know, they feel no pain on these celebration days. I think we saw some clips of Klay Thompson. Poor Klay Thompson was feeling it too today. He had a few pops, and it was he was feeling good. Put it that way. We saw Tom Brady. Remember, Tom Brady was feeling pretty good in that boat parade in Tampa.
Absolutely.
You know, guys, you know, you go grind it for such a long time, and then you let your hair down, and just got to be careful a little bit though.
You got to give it up for Draymond, because when he started, you know, doing his Draymond thing is when the Golden State really started clicking. You know, he was getting his, you know, close to triple doubles, and you know, he was asserting himself emotionally and, you know, viscerally on the court is really when Golden State started gelling. But he was threatening, if he couldn't grab a mic on this victory parade, he was actually threatening not to show up. You know, in jest, because you know he was going to be on that parade on Market in Maine today. But let's face it, you know, Draymond, when he gets going vocally, he starts trash talking, that's definitely an influence on the court. And the Warriors, man, yeah. They got love. They got love for one another. You know, Wiggins wants to return. All the guys who are free agents, they want to come back. They're already saying, I want to come back to the Warriors, man. I know They got a mini dynasty going, 4 rings, 8 years.
They built a culture up there, Vic. They built a great culture for people up there.
No doubt. Our man, you know, Bob Myers, the GM, is still, you know, rocking and rolling. But most importantly, you know, they got a squad. Everyone's bought in. And they beat the hated Celtics, man. You got to love that. Oh, come on now.
Of course, on the other end of the spectrum, there's a former Golden State Warrior who probably should. Kevin Durant can't help himself, though. He's still on Twitter, responding to folks and haters as well. Someone said Kevin Durant's legacy just died. He's now just the guy between Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins. And KD retweeted it, saying, I've been dead since July 4th of 2016. That's when he signed with Golden State. But congrats to the Dubs anyways. He also said...
He said that?
Yeah.
He
still said congrats to him. But someone else said, how does it feel to not get any love from the fans of the team you won back-to-back titles with? And KD said, love will get you killed. Now, I hope that wasn't VTB's haiku for tomorrow, but he said, love will get you killed.
I would never go there. That's KD's rant.
KD doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. You know, bottom line. What's interesting
is... KD know that?
Well, no, he doesn't. No, that's on him. Okay, thank you, KD. Or I'm sorry, Draymond. What's interesting is, though, he doesn't understand that, and he really doesn't have to prove anything, but it speaks to the culture of the Warriors overall. What they built there. They can win with him, and they can win without him. And, I mean, that's bigger than anything, and that's important. That's why culture, as you point out, Rodney, means so much, and how an organization operates. You invent the correct culture, people understand, they buy in, and you're going to have more sustained success than if you just hire a mercenary to come in and try to do it fast.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And you heard Steph afterwards. I mean, it wasn't by accident that he was emotional after this victory, and it was more, you know, it was more about them winning it and than him getting the MVP, because that was the narrative, right, Adam? Kevin Durant, can he win it without Kevin Durant, and you know, all those type of things. And this validated that for him. And I think for that team, I think that's why you feel them letting off so much steam, because I think deep down they felt like Kevin Durant probably got too much credit for those two titles that they won when he was there. And then you heard Steph say, this one hits different. Well, yep. We all know what that meant. They're letting it all out. But you're right. You know, KD just needs to take it, not say anything, stay on that vacation boat or wherever he is and just chill, let them have their moment. Because every time he chimes into it, it just makes it worse.
I understand Kevin Durant's, you know, reflection, you know, on his former squad, because he was MVP in the finals a couple times and was winning those couple rings. So he was sensational for them. There's no doubt. So in his reflection, you know, of the squad not seeing him there, but seeing them perform, you know, so beautifully, even without his multi skills, you know, I'm sure it's his hoop ego has taken a blow to see them win without him. But, you know, Andrew Wiggins, you know, stepped up, you know, in that role as the next scorer and also played fantastic D. But, you know, coming from Durant's side, I understand, you know, his hoop ego saying, wow, even without me, they're winning titles. You know, they're collecting bling. So, you know, I get it from KD's ego, but you know, he's got to put his head down, you know, and ball in Brooklyn and just, you know, make the best of that situation. Now, come on now.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines, gentlemen. And now I'll
Kevin's Adam. Been great.
All right, thank you, Vic. And Rodney, we've got some Darvin Ham, Laker coach. Got some sound from Darvin Ham we want to listen to next.
Okay. Come on, Freddie, let's go on a Monday, Rodney P. Fred Rogan. Gotta get the gum out of my mouth, Fred.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you think I can convince Joe West to come on?
If anybody can, you can, Freddie. Yes, absolutely. I think you can convince Joe West, Cowboy Joe, to come on the show. Did you?
Well, I have not had a chance to talk to him yet. I'm gonna call him at 3 o'clock.
Talk
to
him briefly.
Yeah.
What'd you tell him when he called? What'd you say?
I said we're on till 3 o'clock. He goes, oh, all right, call me back. I went, okay, good. That's all I needed. I needed to call me back. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to miss his call. I've been trying to get a hold of him. So I think he will have stories to tell. That'll just be great. Wouldn't you like to know if – well, first, I want to know all the guys you threw out of games. I definitely want to know that. And what was his best ejection ever?
Best ejection. Who had the best comebacks?
Who had the best comebacks?
Manager, yeah.
I want to know if he knows in his career how many strikes and balls he called. I'll ask him that.
Is that like home runs, Fred, where umpires remember how many strikes and balls they call?
That's right.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And, of course, he sings, and we'll pull some of his music.
Okay.
Listen to that. So, yeah, I'm going to call him at 3, and then we'll try to set him up.
All right.
Laker coach Darvin Ham was on with Dan Patrick the other day, and they were talking about Russell Westbrook. And given what the Lakers have said, and I think it was Bill Orem that said this, Rodney, some time ago, they need to give the impression that they're holding on to him. Because if you're telling everybody you're going to sell him or trade him, then you're not going to get anything back in return because everybody knows you're desperate to trade him. So take a different approach. Take the approach, he's our guy, we're running it back, and we're going with him. So that's what they've been doing. Now, is that real? I don't know. If they had the chance to move him, would they? Well, probably. But at least for now, he's still here. So Darvin Ham was asked, what are you going to do to make him work? Well, there you go. That's Darvin Ham's plan to use Russell Westbrook. Yes, Adam.
So he's got nothing. I mean, if you have that many ideas for how to use him, you don't know what his role is. That's like the old saying, if you got two quarterbacks, you got none.
Yeah. What do you think, Rodney?
Let's have him do all these things he's never done.
Maybe he watched it and said they didn't utilize him the right way. And maybe I can. Or maybe we can figure out a better way to use him than he was utilized last year. Maybe that was an analysis that maybe, you know, we're going to present it in 3 different roles for Russ, that he's going to play this role in certain situations. He's going to play off the ball in other situations. So he knows going in these certain plays, God, this is where I am. This is what I'm supposed to do. And they roll with him. And in the course of a game, then if that is working, him playing off the ball, not handling, not initiating, and that's working, that's what they keep going to. But he knows going in, it could be a, you know, several different roles in which I play in a particular quarter or how we run the offense coming up and down the court.
So he's not going to be Russell Westbrook anymore. He's going to be Draymond Green. He's going to do all the little things to help you
maybe.
Win. All of a sudden.
Maybe.
At 33, maybe. 34 years of age?
I didn't say he was going to be Draymond Green, but I'm saying he's saying that he's not going to initiate the offense every single time he gets the ball or every time he's in the game.
I just don't know how effective he can be when the ball's not in his hands. How does he play
off
the
either.
Ball when you're not
I
a shooter?
Either.
He's going to screen for guys? How much worth do you have as a screener making $45 million a year?
He better set a good screen.
He better.
Set a good screen. Well, he could be a you know what? He can get an off-ball screen and slash to the basket, get a pass and score. He could do that too, don't you think?
He could. He's not even, though, the athlete that he used to be. This notion that all of a sudden he's going to play the best defense he's ever played.
Well, he doesn't really play defense.
Well, but Darvin Ham has stressed the fact that he's going to sacrifice and buy
get
in.
Get him to buy into defense.
Is Ben Howland going to be on the coaching staff? Because that was the only guy that got Russ to play defense.
Let me ask you this. Did Frank Vogel got those guys to buy into defense, didn't he, when he first came?
When he first came.
Didn't have Russ on that team.
Yeah, but he got people to buy into defense is what I'm saying.
You can get guys to buy in early on if it's working and you're winning. But when things start to splinter, because Russ said all the right things coming into last season, he just wants to win.
How much do you think that this year affected Russ at all? Like I know everybody's saying there's no way he can change. There's no way he can not play the way he's played for however long he's been in the league or however long he's played, going back to high school maybe probably. How much do you think all of the negativity, them not making the playoffs, all of this stuff has sunk into him to the point where he has looked himself in the mirror and go, okay, in order for me to play these last 2, 3, 4, whatever I got left, I got to change my game up. Do you think he's capable of that?
I'll say this.
What happened last year?
The one thing going in his favor is everyone, former teammates, speak so highly of Russell Westbrook and how much they love playing with him overall. Yeah, he and KD had a bit of a schism there. But, and if he gets traded to Brooklyn, they'll have to figure that out again. Certain guys can do that as they age. They can find ways to still be effective as they change their role. Vince Carter did that. He played till he was 40 because of it. Other guys, you can say Carmelo Anthony has adjusted a little bit in Portland and with the Lakers just being that spot-up shooter. But Allen Iverson could never do it. There's plenty of guys. There's more guys who are former superstars who could never change their stripes, who always had to be the guy, the focus of the offense. And what we heard coming into last season was, well, Russell Westbrook's going to take the burden off of LeBron James of being that ball handler playmaker. It's going to extend the career of LeBron. Well, he didn't get to do that enough, obviously, because of all the injuries going on with Bron, with AD. But when they were all out there, those three, any combination of those three out there, the Lakers were still a negative, a net negative. They could never figure it out. Granted, it was only 24 games they played together. But the fit, everybody first guessed this fit with Russell Westbrook, and it's because of the shooting. Think about it this way. If you have LeBron in the starting lineup, Russ, AD, then you have a five playing next to AD because he doesn't want to play center. There's already four non-shooters on the court in your starting lineup. How do you make that work? Remember, as much as people want to talk about defense now, they were worse offensively last year, the Lakers. And I'm not sure Russ, in this new role of Mr. Utility Man, like he's Chris Taylor, is going to work out for them this season, even with a new coach.
Isn't it also safe to say, as you get older, it's harder to play defense? You're not as quick. It takes more energy. And that's not a knock on
anybody.
It's
not safe to say. It is to say. Okay. Yes, physically impossible as you get older. Yeah, you play smarter, but no. We've seen that when we saw that when the Lakers matched up against a younger team. They just ran circles around them.
Yeah.
So that's just a fact. It's not necessarily that everybody didn't want to try. It's that they couldn't.
Right, so you're asking a guy at his age to focus more on defense and change your entire game. And somehow that's going to work.
The one thing he's always had is that relentless motor. when he was averaging triple doubles every season at the end with OKC and even in Washington just over a year ago. He still ended up averaging a triple double, I believe, after a slow start. Yeah, he has energy. He has explosiveness, but he's 33-34. And if you make him expend that energy on the defensive end, how much is he going to have left offensively to do the one thing he's good at, which is slashing to the basket? I don't know if he's going to have that for you. And you can say defense is just effort. No, it's not. Because if you overreact to moves that guys make, you're going to be out of position too. It's not just effort. It's not that simple, or else guys like him and Carmelo Anthony would find better ways to play defense, and they never really have.
I think that's a fair point. Thank you to everybody who showed up for stop number two on the Petros and Money Chevy Summer Tour, live from Rockin' Brews in Buena Park. If you missed last Friday's event, you can still watch the stream on YouTube and Facebook. Brought to you by Body Armor. Today's athletes deserve more than just a sports drink. Body Armor sports drink provides hardworking hydration. Rodney, we're back to wrap it up right after this.
Let's do it.
Ronnie, great job as always. And Adam, thank you for doing such a wonderful job filling in for Kevin.
Thank you, fellas.
This July 4th, don't miss AmeriFest and celebrate the Rose Bowl's 100th anniversary, presented by Westcom, featuring the biggest and brightest fireworks show in Southern California. Get your tickets now at AxisAXS.com. All right, Rodney, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.